If everyone will stand in honor of the scriptures, the scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 45, verses 9 through 12. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it, I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded.
Good morning. This is the continuing series, The Future of Prophecy, Part 5. God isn't fixing this, was the full page headline in a New York Daily News a few days after another alleged mass shooting in San Bernardino, California on December 2nd. This time, the theater of blood focused on Muslims killing 14 people for no apparent reason other than the FBI proclaiming it an act of terrorism. Are we to believe everything the media scribes tell us after a steady diet of false flag operations and blatant, deliberate lies following 9/11? The pattern of cliches has become so knee-jerk and predictable that people's acceptance or rejection of the dialectic have become laughable or a great time of sorrow. Yes, people have died. Others have faked it. Are there any smoking guns? Well, the smokiest one appears to be an assault on God himself, reviving the old soundbite from an April 8th, 1966 cover of Time magazine that said, God is dead. Apparently, he isn't dead. He just isn't fixing terrorism. And this is really mocking the omnipotence of God, not the political hacks. There's been different spins on what this headline meant, that it was sarcasm of the political cliche regarding thoughts and prayers after all of these incidences, or that only gun control will fix the problem, or that Islamic terrorism must be neutralized. By innuendo, it suggests that God is not in control. In fact, Rabbi Danny Berkman reflects the dialectical antithesis that God isn't fixing this, but that Jews will, by leading the charge for draconian gun control based on the 1996 Australian model to pass sweeping legislation centering on a buyback of weapons, prohibiting private sales, mandatory registration of all guns, and as an extra special bonus, outlaw red-blooded American gun shows as the last vestige of Christ's command, He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Today's modern equivalent to the sword would be a gun. What do you think the Jews know the spirit of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is related to Christians defending themselves against Antichrist? lest we be killed in these gun-free zones? Kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, don't you think? Well, let's get one thing straight. Through prophecy, God proves his sovereignty and that his plan for the ages is one long remedy to fix the fallen state of Adamic man. Nobody tells God he can't fix something. To paraphrase today's scripture reading in Isaiah 45, starting with verse 9, it's saying that it will be horrible for anyone to argue with their creator. It doesn't say it will be bad for those not created by God, until verse 25 implies that non-Israelites are not included in the Lord's justification of the seed or race of Israel. Justification means that we're no longer condemned in our sins, of which we read in Romans 8:1. That's because the racial alien is already condemned for extinction. Who are we to question God? My God says it's time to get racist. Why should we be influenced by an Antichrist headline? By the way, who owns the New York Daily News? Why, it's none other than Jewish billionaire Mort Zuckerman, who is an active Zionist propagandist. How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, "Why was I born?" Or if it said to its mother, "Why did you make me this way?" Isaiah 45:10. Well, Esau had this arrogant mindset to forsake his birthright to Jacob. And you know what? The genetic disposition has carried on to the modern Jew. Verse 11 is saying that we can ask in order to learn. What is the future of the sons of man? But first, learn of God's design through the course of history and the fulfillment of prophecy. Don't be so presumptuous to give God directions as to which way we should go when you're still in utter ignorance of his divine destiny for mankind. How often are people forget that our God is the creator of the universe, but not the creator of hybrid adulterations, as clarified in verse 12. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands. All the stars are at my command. God will fix the Islam problem. He will fix the Catholic problem. He will fix the Jewish problem. And it will be because his people will beseech the Lord in fervent prayer. Christians don't question the power of prayer. We have faith that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If only 16% of Americans believe the official government version of 9/11, and 84% think it was an inside job, and this is according to a New York Times CBS News poll in 2006, I'm sure there's many more people today, then why should we believe anything about San Bernardino? The Jews have gotten away with the greatest fraud of all time. the identity theft of being the Israelite people of the Bible, plus the creation of the Communist Party, the 6 million Holocaust hoax, the assassination of JFK, and the 9/11 spectacle. Now, there's dozens of more recent false flag operations. There are hundreds of murders, and there are thousands, if not millions, of victims of a Jewish conspiracy. What is the prophetic significance? Well, it certainly isn't the fulfillment of prophecy concerning true Israel, but it does speak loudly of many prophetic warnings about deception. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. A fake Israel. Then he said, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them." Luke 21:8. Now, this was especially true after the death of Christ and was manifested by those who pretended not to be sent by Christ, but that they were Christ, prophesying that the time of deliverance for the Jewish nation from the Roman yoke was at hand. Well, that prophecy was a big flop, being that Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. But that did not stop the pretenders, or as John put it in Revelation 2:9, in the King James, "I know your affliction and poverty, yet you are rich." And let me stop right there, because I couldn't help but put SPLC in brackets, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has poverty for some reason in their company name, and yet they make $50, $60 million in donations a year. How about that? Continuing with John in Revelation, "I know the slander of those who say they are Jews." That's a very poor translation. It should have been Judeans or Judahites, meaning white people, "who are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." End quote. Now, I've reported in past sermons that the Talmud declares the Jewish people themselves as the Messiah, collectively. So the lie has become the big lie, fulfilling Luke 21:8, where many pretenders will collectively infiltrate the message of Christ. And this is not seen any more clearly than the false creed of the so-called Judeo-Christian ethic. There is no greater oxymoron or deception. White Christians can follow, leading into the pits of destruction, than that. It's time to get racist. "For if he that comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." In other words, you might fall for the con, because it sounds so close to the truth. This is the art of cognitive dissonance, the sorcery of altered reality, and the hallucination of myth. The con artist or false prophet makes you confide in him to make an excuse to hear what he has to say. Do we do that with junk mail or phone solicitations? I don't. As soon as I know that's a junk phone call, But maybe if you've got a lot of time on your hands. But the Christian is to make each day count for righteousness. Not doing what is right can result in disastrous effects of false worship by giving a false teacher the time of day. Worship means giving power to someone or something to do great things. That's why we can only worship the deity of Jesus Christ, who was given all power in heaven and earth. Anything less than full devotion to our kinsman redeemer is lip service and pretending to be in his service. We give no quarter to pretenders. We give no credence to Jews. Our life depends wholly upon Christ. Likewise, we do not tolerate strangers and their strange gods having a proximity or closeness to us. In today's lesson, I can't emphasize enough the gravity of deception that permeates almost every facet of our lives. It is a spiritual cancer that affects temporal living. It's the difference between surrender to Babylon and resistance to Babylon. The Judeo-Babylonian church institution is not something you want to be pewing in. When you smell a skunk, you say, pew. Apostasy is just warming the pews of a church, and oh my, how they are so ever decorated in December. That would kind of make me depressed. With pagan trees and the lights of Hanukkah commemorating the rededication of the Second Temple. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? But some people who call themselves Christians think their body is their own, and that they can put whatever they want into what the Bible says is where the Spirit of God dwells within you, your body. But I want you to know that Christ is the head of the body of every man, and the head of Christ is God. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Collectively, that does not make us the Messiah like Jews believe, but the body of Christ. Now, the deception and prophecy is explained in John's vision of Babylon falling. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Because your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries, that word means pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived. Almost every nation in the world today celebrates Christmas. And the merchants of the earth sell them the toys. The Jew founder of communism, Karl Marx, put it another way. He said, religion is the opiate of the people. Well, he should know, because communism with atheistic, as is Judaism. The irony is that they are intoxicated with self, and self is the center of corruption. To some extent, the church has been opiated by a priestcraft introducing the drug of tolerance for other races and religions, compromising the word of God, and accepting the conditions of our existence without protest. Our rebellion should be against Babylon, but it's redirected against God. The leaven of situational ethics has entered the mind of white people with the creed of "do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Nail that old cross. Nail that old law to the cross, thus making our people lawless and mindless. The law written in our heart is dormant, and the head is missing from the body. The voice of God, when it is not infected with Jewish toxins, is prophetic and a dangerous threat to the enemies of God. The adversaries know, they know that. Our people do not. They can only think of God as pure love and nothing else. This robs God of his character and us of his will. The enemy think tanks can devise the cleverest plans against God's people, but they will fail because God is with us. Christian identity cannot and will not walk in the way of our countrymen to follow a multitude to do evil. The whole spirit and tone of American society today is out of whack with God. But there are a few rumblings. Don't call everything conspiracy like they do. The real conspiracy nuts, to befuddle the masses. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. The fearmongers, the doom and gloomers. Make no mistake about it. There is plenty of treason. But the command is to fear no one but God. Conspiracy theories matter. These false flag events are increasing in frequency, and of course the real conspirators deny the plausibility of such absurd notions as only kooks percolate those kind of unsound dramas. You're just a drama queen. Only crazy people think the government would harm their own people, for crying out loud. If that's what you think, if that's what your church teaches, then the deception has succeeded. In Orwell's book, 1984, an artificial enemy had to be created by the government in order to continue their perpetual warfare for perpetual peace. You don't think there's people who want to rule the world and they'll do anything to achieve it? Think again. That's what a false Christ is in business for. To lord over the world. Who would not have the real Christ to reign over them? And they do it by fear. Like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. The killer is in the same house as us, making creepy noises. Muslims are a creepy people, and they're creeping into the house of Israel. And in their hand is a machete dripping with blood. They're coming to get you. And really, they don't have to kill us. They just have to keep breeding like rabbits, and we have to keep aborting our posterity. Who's the executive producer of this movie? Well, it's a mystery in Babylon. But I've mentioned them a million times before. For fear of the Jews. You don't have to be afraid of what's on the horizon if you're a God-fearing Christian. Jesus said, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." That doesn't sound very lovey-dovey, does it? Christian prophecy matters. And it's time to get racist. I don't know if anyone died or not at San Bernardino TV show, but it's immaterial if things are seen from God's perspective. Look at the theater in the same way we can see the theater of blood and all of the other managed events having a form of chaotic manipulation. If you're going with the flow of generating the mantra radical Islamic terrorist, then you are sadly ignorant of the cause of Ishmaelites gone wild. It is the bloodlust of Edomites gone wild. Radical Edomite terrorists that exploit the mongrel Arab as a patsy, either MK-Ultra'd or goaded into acts of terrorism. 9/11 was, if I may quote, "very good for Israel," according to Prime Minister Netanyahu. But then he edited himself in the same breath and said, "Well, not very good, but it will generate immediate sympathy." William Shakespeare wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." I believe there is a conspiracy that you won't hear from many quarters, and that is that there's a plethora of crisis actors, let's say about 10,000. I don't know how many there are. There must be a bunch of them involved in most of these mass shootings and terrorist acts. The reason for this is that there's always an agenda. The game being played is that of war and death. It's the kind of game that all Jews and non-whites play to eradicate white Western civilization. Not all whites play the game because they don't even know the game is being played, unless they've been blackmailed or bribed to betray their own kind. But some of us can see the invisible monsters. They live. Which brings us to the enigma of Donald Trump, who is refreshing his starring role in the polls on a regular weekly basis. His latest outrage, I don't call it that, I call it a start, a good start, is a salvo aimed at the Islamic refugee crisis in Europe being brought to America by those importing a new batch of terrorists by bleeding heart Republican communists right after the San Bernardino shootings. In a December 7th, Day of Infamy speech aboard the USS Yorktown, Trump blasted the facilitators of the alien invasion out of the water by saying, quote, "I am calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice." End quote. And all hell broke loose from those conspiring against America obeying their Jewish masters. But he, Trump, has the support of everyone who doesn't want to see what's happening in Europe or France happening here. We don't want to see our women gang raped and men assaulted, which is becoming pandemic in formerly white-dominated countries, while the police do nothing because it might be seen as racist. I can't see how anybody could call Trump's demand for a ban on jihadists who hate us and obviously want to kill us, how they could call it un-American or unconstitutional. We are facing a crime wave of biblical proportions festered by false flag events. The staggering murder rate keeps getting worse directly from the religions of Judaism and Islam, and indirectly from spineless Judeo-Christians. But you know what? I've never heard of any identity Christians dying in the Twin Towers or the Boston Marathon or the Paris Massacre or San Bernardino. I guess nobody likes their alarm clock going off in the morning, or zealous patriots trying to awaken the lemmings out of their political correctness running amok. It's just easier to hit the snooze button and slip back into a subconscious state. It's time to wake up and get racist. As Trump pointed out, Roosevelt did this exact same thing and interned over 110,000 Japs and some Germans after the Day of Infamy in 1941. Those crying bloody murder are quick to forget also that Jimmy Carter, during the 1980 Iranian hostage crisis, banned Iranians from entering into the United States. Furthermore, Carter ordered 50,000 Iranian students to report to immigration offices for visa reviews. And get this, a U.S. Court of Appeals ruled in favor of Carter's deportations, and around 15,000 Iranians were forced to leave the United States. Don't tell me it can't be done. So was Jimmy a racist monster like Trump or identity Christians? One thing you can say about Trump is that he understands the politics of hypocrisy. And you may not be on his bandwagon, I'm not, but for those with eyes to see, he is way closer to the truth than the deceptive devils in Washington, D.C., District of Criminals. Senator Lindsey Graham said, "You want America to be great again? Then tell Trump he can go to hell." But what he really means is that America can go to hell and keep him company there. The Islamic problem is not going away because the Jewish problem has not gone away. Both are antithetical to true Christianity. To make America great again, indeed, to usher in the kingdom of God on earth, all non-Christian religions and all non-whites must be removed from our Beulah land, which means thy land shall be married. And the prophetic marriage supper of the Lamb is not with Jews or Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus, but with true Israel. Now, slaves are not allowed to have a direct relationship with God. If a slave bride receives revelation, she is not allowed to act upon it without the approval of her master. The master assumes veto power over his slave. Hence, when the church, that is the assembly or congregation, becomes enslaved to the church hierarchy of a denomination, it is no longer Sarah, but Hagar. And it can only bring forth an Ishmael. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit was to guide you into all truth. The great deception of our age is that the white race is Gentile, with the erroneous meaning of non-Jew, and hence non-Israelite, and therefore not of Sarah, but Hagar. We are not much different than the bondservant descendants of Ishmael if we do not have an awakening from the Holy Spirit pertaining to our biblical identity. We are in a new Babylonian captivity under the yoke of Jewish usury. Islam is opposed to usury, and that is why Arab countries are falling like dominoes, and ISIS was created by the Mossad, the CIA, and British intelligence to finish the job in Syria and Iran. Follow the money trail, and you will discover the real enemies of God. The truth shall make you free of a false identity, and you can then acknowledge your racial ancestry as well as the enemy. The brown resident in the White House can't bring himself to say anything remotely close to the truth. Obama is not a secret Muslim, although he is rife with positive overtures to Islam. He's not a Christian, and he's not a Jew, although his handlers are Jewish. He is simply a satanic half-breed actor without theological credentials. Without his teleprompter, he is without political portfolio and can only play the part of an affirmative action witch doctor. Any sufficiently advanced incompetence is indistinguishable from calculated malevolence. Obama and company can only be regarded as devilish bastards whose only legacy will be the epitome of deception. They hate white Christians because we will not be part of their corruption and decadence. But beyond all else, they despise us because they despise Jesus Christ. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. We are coming out of a world of hypocrisy. Why is it that the wealthiest Arab states like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain have no guilt about refusing to take in the sudden flood of refugees? They say Assad has too much blood on his hands to be allowed to remain president of Syria. Well, what about the blood on the hands of Obama? Not to mention the blood of Arab women and children spilled by the Israeli ISIS axis using U.S.-supplied weapons. Have you noticed the file film footage on TV, the news networks, of ISIS personnel driving all these desert tan tanks and Humvees? They got those vehicles courtesy of the United States Government, Inc. When Obama withdrew from Iraq, he didn't bother to transfer our properties to any of the aforementioned Arab countries I just mentioned that are refusing refugees. And just last week on Fox News, it said some 6,000 weapons were left in Iraq that ISIS is now using. The order, the executive order to do so, could not have been followed had the commander-in-chief not given it. He armed ISIS with American materiel to wage war and kill people. Obama is just as neocon as his predecessor, W. France has begun raiding mosques suspected of supporting the Paris attacks despite cries of racism. And thus far, they have uncovered a massive stash of ammunition, 334 guns, and ISIS propaganda videos with 232 Muslims arrested. And yet we do nothing here. We should raid every mosque in America with the same giant caterpillars we give to the Israelis to level Palestinian homes. And after we demolish the mosque, we can then head for the synagogues. We have no choice. We must gather out of God's kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. I used to be offended at the sight of full-orbed Catholic nuns. None dare call them penguins out of habit. They would exude such inordinate piety. However, my Catholic friends who went to parochial school would tell me how sadistically mean-spirited they really were. Likewise, today, being a little bit older and wiser, I'm even more offended at the sight of Islamic women sporting religious headgear known as niqabs, or the ultra-Orthodox cover-up known as burqas. It is disturbing to see a steady increase in these walking black tents that are passed off to a gullible white America as an essential Islamic practice. Let me tell you, it's a complete sham and has nothing to do with Islam. They are political flags of the Muslim Brotherhood, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and Saudi Arabia, all of which the faceless are in your face. Canadian court has decided that a federal government banning, the Canadian government actually banned the burqas. The court decided it was illegal. Canada, for crying out loud. In the jihadi badlands of Pakistan, the Chief Justice of the Peshawar High Court, Tariq Khan, ordered female lawyers not to wear face veils in the courtroom because they couldn't be identified and hindered court procedures. He scolded the women, saying, quote, "You're professionals. Covering the face is not a religious requirement for Muslim women," end quote. A scholar of Islamic history, Professor Muhammad Qadir, wrote, quote, "The argument about concealing one's face as a religious obligation is contentious and is not backed by any evidence. In Western societies, the niqab is also a symbol of distrust for fellow citizens and a statement of self-segregation. The wearer of the face veil is conveying, I am violated if you look at me." Well, excuse me. Libertards laud the niqabis as a latter-day Rosa Parks fighting for justice. But Parks was a trained Negro communist agitator. If we are to save our national character, we have no other choice than to ban these subversive fashions. You know, we have anti-mask laws that originally pertained to the Ku Klux Klan. Although the law has been ignored for years, when anarchists destroy public property wearing masks, the Islamic woman involved in the San Bernardino shooting was your typical radical extremist who had a bomb-making factory in their home in which explosives could easily be concealed in such clothing that they wear. They are everywhere in America, and any one of them could be seconds away from blowing themselves up along with a bunch of other Americans. Are we that stupid to let terrorists go walking around freely, ready to kill us at any time? The next time you see them in a crowded area, just remember, they are ISIS uniforms. They hate you and are claiming the world for a false god. The kingdom has always been a battleground between Jacob Israel and Esau Edom. In other words, between white people and Jews. The Jews are so few in numbers, never being a multitude of nations, that they require swarms of locust people to do their bidding, to be their cannon fodder and puppet authorities. White people might as well be a company of midgets, mental and spiritual, for our resistance to evil or lack thereof, being so fickle, for being clay in the hands of the mainstream media and Madison Avenue, for not knowing who we are and knowing not what to do. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Not to confuse baptism with rites and rituals, we were to repent, change our thinking, and immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Peter exhorted his kinfolk to save yourselves from this corrupt race. He was speaking of the chief priest, scribes, and Pharisees, and elders of the people, who were a perverse generation of men, and upon whom, for their reprobate minds and unbelief, for the rejection of the Messiah, and their evil treatment of him, wrath and ruin would come upon them. The apostle implores them to separate from Babylon. Likewise, John shows us things which must come to pass. Come out of her, my people, so that you don't participate in her sins and also suffer from her diseases. In part four, I indicted the New World Order on charges of conspiring to create the greatest integration scheme ever. In addition to that, we are faced with one of the largest redistributions of wealth in the history of mankind, as illegals are sending a majority of their income back to Mexico. They're not here to make America great. At one time, we were the greatest Christian nation in the world, but now we are the greatest Satan of all empires that have ever been. At the same time, we are seeing the largest transfer of technology. Countries far inferior to us are getting our technical information for free. Why and how this can happen to the policemen of the world? Deception is the only logical answer. They've outsourced everything but the kitchen sink to cheap labor countries and then offer the lame excuse that we must welcome a flood of locust people to fill the jobs here in America, while we experience one of the greatest eras of unemployment, trickle-down austerity. But they need a lot of smoke and mirrors to get Americans to pay for their own destruction. Ever hear of starving Judeo-Christian ministers? No. They are well provided for as long as they keep their sheep blind and in line. Did I mention in part four that by the time the Crusades finally began, Muslim armies had conquered 2/3 of the Christian world? The first crusade began in 1095, 460 years after the first Christian city was overrun by Muslims. Will we drag our pathetic feet again so slowly into the ditch? We will, if we do not have the eyes to see the Jew behind the scenes. It's time to get racist. It's time to stop pussyfooting around the contrived emotional sensitivities of adversarial religions to Christianity and the dark, malevolent mongrels who hate white people. We need to stop the attacks against white Christian America and our way of life. We need to devise a plan for our kith and kin that meets with the approval of the white man's God, not the satanic families of Planned Parenthood. The first thing on your list of things to do is to get a gun. I don't care how you get it. Just get one. Learn how to shoot it, and then get the dissident racism in your heart to pull the trigger for self-defense, because that day may be coming sooner than you think. If you love God, arm yourself. It's biblical. If you got a real problem with guns, at least spend $4 at the hardware store for a can of wasp spray. They've got a range of about 25 feet. And it's got nastier chemicals than more expensive pepper sprays. at least defend yourself. The second thing is get a Bible. And I mentioned a gun is the first one because once you got the Bible, then you got something to defend it with. If you don't already have one, get one and learn how to read it, believe it, and obey it. Become proficient in its use because the day is coming when they will try and outlaw the Bible. And you know, then only outlaws will have the Word of God. If you love your brethren, arm them with Scripture. These two priorities are symbiotic if you want to live. The racial alien does not have a right to be on our land, period. I said earlier that Trump's call, does that remind you perhaps of trumpets in prophecy? The Trump's call? Trump's call for banning Muslims from coming into the U.S., I said, was a start. The follow-through is to ban all non-Christians and all non-whites from entering the United States. We should have been vigilant in that regard a long time ago. But devils crept in unawares and told us, that's not what America is about. But they lied. And they continue to offend the true God of Israel. The new Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, said in response to Trump, quote, the notion of banning all members of one religion from the country is not what this party stands for. More importantly, it's not what this country stands for, end quote. But what really stood out was Ryan saying, this is not conservatism. If that's the case, then there's not a dime's worth of difference between conservatives and liberals or the two-party system. Trump has got the establishment knickers in a knot and is rightly calling them stupid. If we have the brains to learn anything from San Bernardino, then logically banishment will prevent more terrorist killings. You can call it a moratorium, but any way you slice it, it's a deterrent. Now, I don't know if Trump can figure it out, or the powers that were will ever figure it out, but the people of God can and will figure it out, that they've been lied to so many times that there will be repercussions. If any good can come from this most recent political earthquake, it is Christian identity. Stepping up to the plate and showing people how to hit a home run for Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? We make the same point that Christ did when he initiated his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first two guys that Jesus encountered, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they dropped their fishing nets and followed him. There was nothing so great that they couldn't figure out as long as they trusted in the Lord with all their heart and leaned not into their own understanding. To allow the jure stranger and the strange gods into our land is an invitation for self-destruction of our own nation. Does it make any sense? Let me give you an extreme analogy so that there's no doubt about it. savage beasts are released from a prison and they do a home invasion, killing your wife and children. The system again proposes another release for similar elements. What do you do? Welcome them to the neighborhood to do it again? Here, have some milk and cookies. How many times must this tragedy repeat itself? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And this principle applies to nations just as well. By the same token, as terror rises, the crazy idea of gun control rises also. Huh? Remember Pastor Davy Blackburn in the last message, whose lovely pregnant wife was raped and murdered by niggers called the Kill Gang? This is the best thing he could come up with for his congregation in the aftermath. He said, quote, "I believe that in some way, some shape, some form, that we cannot wrap our minds around it theologically. God didn't cause this to happen, but he allowed it to happen in such a way. He allowed the breath of Amanda to come out of her so the breath could be breathed into you and into me so that we could advance the gospel in a way that history books have never been told," end quote. Wow. Talk about gobbledygook. Blackburn said he felt God had spoken to him. If he had been asked to give up his bride so that God's bride could live. He said he saw similarities between the people from the book of Ezekiel and the congregation in front of him. He's referring to the Valley of Dry Bones in chapter 37. He concluded his theological fish wrap by saying, quote, "I believe that it's going to come out of this house, that it's going to come out of our house in Indianapolis. I believe in this region. God's going to do something from the crossroads of America." Isn't that where the devil cuts his deals? "That's going to scatter across America, and we're going to see a revival like we've never seen before," end quote. Again, wow. Unless this poor sap has the key of Christian identity, he will never know that the bride of Christ in Dry Bones can only be the white race. Pastor Davy has no clue about conspiracy because he's one of the useful idiots that makes the conspiracy possible. Should he ever read Deuteronomy 28:28, he might get an epiphany by looking in the mirror, to wit, "The Lord will afflict you with insanity, blindness, and mental confusion. As a result, you'll wander aimlessly in broad daylight, just as a blind person wanders in darkness. You won't prosper in life. Instead, you'll be oppressed and plundered all day long with no one to save you," end quote. Good grief. The wolf is eating the sheep, and the sheep love to have it so. It's crazy, just crazy. I wrote a message a while back called "Our First Love," and the phrase is from one of John's prophecies in Revelation 2:4. The prophetic church at Ephesus left their first love, Christ. Jesus was and is God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he came in the flesh as the prophetic Messiah to do his work on the earth. He came and became our intercession or mediator with heaven. You know, it was wrong for the Israelites to want Moses as a middleman between them and God. Conversely, Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but through me." Well, guess what? That automatically excludes all of the religions of the world, especially the ones we're discussing today. There is nothing in the Bible to suggest that white Christians must go through a man or a priest or an organization in order to be received by God. We can do it all on our own. Albeit doing it collectively is even better. When the Ephesians left their first love, it was the start of denominationalism, which put distance between God and his people. When Donald Trump suggested that we ban Muslims, whether he realized it or not, it was a jump start to have the potential to return to our first love. The purpose of a shepherd or a president in America is to point people to Christ, not to point them to the traditions of man, so that we may be registered in the book of life. As the rightful heirs, we are all firstborn, and a myriad of messengers joyfully gathered in assembly. There's nothing wrong with organized fellowship as long as it does not steal the affections of the bride of Christ, causing the people to leave their first love. If our people forget the good old days, they need to start over and go back to that point of departure, the original cause of deception, when man desired earthly rule over the heavenly, like the heathen who were not begotten from above. It's time to get racist like never before. When Trump made his statement and stood his ground, he parenthetically said, "I don't think it's unconstitutional." Banning Muslims or Jews or Christian denominations was the religious test prohibiting the establishment of religion on a national scale. A Sharia law, the Islamic system of jurisprudence, is no different than the deception of denominations to replace the authority of Christ as the law of the land. "There shall be no establishment of Islam in America" is not only constitutional, but scriptural. What most white Christian Americans are missing today is that Talmudic case law is already the law of the land, not God's law. What the several states do is an entirely different issue, and had the freedom to establish the assembly of Christians gathered together under Christ as they saw fit. Ideally, the states would be united in their mutually accepted first love and ban anything smacking of deception. They would overcome the devils of establishment state religions because they clearly saw the historical ramifications that it would fail. Repentance is a return to righteousness, and it starts with overcoming self. You see, a collective mindset can either be good or evil. That's why the hounds of hell are howling over the Trump blasting the powers that were. Being for or against Trump, the person, is not the point, but rather what God hath done and is doing. I pray that Trump can repent of the Jew and overcome all Antichrist, if the Bible is indeed really his favorite book. He having an ear must hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To he who overcomes, I shall give him to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Can you hear the still small voice in your heart? Or does it take an earthquake? Your wife and unborn child raped and murdered, your nation devoured by savage beast, to wake up. The implication is that those who do not overcome the established world system, Mystery Babylon, do not have the ability to hear what God is saying. But white people have this ability, they just don't know it. They will cry racist and call you a Hitler worshiper. They're already calling Trump Hitler. But the word of God can come to you through direct revelation, the fulfillment of prophecy, through other people, signs, and wonders. If you bear witness to Jesus Christ because he resonates in your heart and soul, you will be granted the right to eat of the tree of life. To hear is to eat. That's why the prophets were told to eat the book. Immerse yourself in it. Consume every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you think it's literal, then it's not going to taste very good. It's a spiritual act of assimilation because we eat what we are and fulfill our identity with God. The Word of God is the tree of life. Jesus was not advocating cannibalism when he spoke in John 5:56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in them." Man cannot live by bread alone. When Adam and Eve ate from the other tree, they were consuming knowledge, which in itself is not bad. However, it was not Christ. We could go so far as to say that the tree of knowledge was the Bible, but it was not the Word. The book we call the Bible, without the Logos of John 1:1, that is, the Word made flesh, whose flesh we are to eat, brings the traditions of man that are void of revelation. It's merely carnal knowledge. The challenge to the church at Ephesus and ourselves today in Revelation 2:2 was that you cannot tolerate evil people who have tested those who call themselves apostles or teachers and are not. And you found them to be liars. So the reality was totally fitting that the reward of the overcomers was to eat of the tree of life. Time arrived when the racist in Christ is vindicated for bearing not the sword in vain by not only killing the old man, the self, the carnal self, but the non-Christian, the non-white evil as well. This is the true restoration of true Israel and paradise on earth. that we overcome the denominational spirit of deception and developed a direct relationship with God as having witnessed and tested the fruit of Christian identity. Have you asked the Holy One of Israel lately of things to come? You should. It's a heads up on the future of prophecy. You will not be deceived, and it will make you happy. It sounds to me like God is fixing what we have failed to do. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this one, referring to Jesus Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins in perpetuity, sat down at the right hand of God, and henceforth awaiting until his enemies are placed as a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, which means those set apart for his purposes. Thank you.